On here. Those of you been around here a while know that that's a special song for me, and I appreciate them singing. I tore it 13 years ago, and I won't spend a lot of time on it, a lot I could say, but the doctor told me I had prostate cancer, and when the doctor tells you you have cancer, you know it's like a dropping a bomb off in your life. And I got to praying, and finally, as I was going across in front of Eastman, cross headed to Holston Valley Cancer Center, where I took 5 weeks, 3 radiations a day for 5 days a week, and every day I'd turn the chuck wagon gang. You may not like the chuck wagon gang; that's your problem. Probably not the only problems you have, but every day. I have a precious friend. I turn that on. Jesus Christ, my Lord. I can e'er depend on his precious word. Clouds hang low, or the skies are fair. I am safe, I know, for my Lord is there. I didn't know what had happened, but I just turned it over to the Lord and had 25 days of revival. The Holy Spirit met me. And so I thank God for it. Well, that's just a little sermon before we get wound up here and get to going. But I appreciate the church and putting up with me 46 years. You took good care of my wife and I, and still Brother Jody and the church is helping us a lot, and we appreciate it. Appreciate everything you've done for us. And as you know, last Sunday we had Dr. Comfort here, and Ron Comfort, and he had a great service last Sunday, and he preached through Wednesday night, and he's one of the great preachers in America today, and then you've got me today. So I sort of feel like Dr. Tom Malone. He preached in the Sword of the Lord conference, and they had 2 great preachers before he got up. I mean, they knocked the ball out of the park. And he got up and told about this little boy. You may have heard, I may have told just before. Well, you go ahead and laugh if you've heard it before. But this little boy said, I cut a tiger's tail off with a pocket knife. And a man heard him say it. He said, what did you say? He said, I cut a tiger's tail off with a pocket knife. He said, well, why didn't you just say it, just cut his head off? He said, somebody else has already done that. So I feel you might feel like somebody else has already done it, but it's my privilege. I've been preaching 60-something years, and it's a privilege to stand and brag on Jesus and preach his precious word. So turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Hebrews 9, in your If you have an old Scofield Reference Bible, it's page 1299, and Hebrews 9. I'll wait to get there. It's in there. Just keep looking for it. Good to see Tony back here and his dear wife, Tony Lawrence. Hadn't seen him in a long time. And others of you. It's good to see all of you in God's house this morning. Hebrews 9, verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege one more time, Lord, of standing behind this pulpit at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and preaching the word of God and lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I can't preach unless you help me. I confess that before God and man. And so, Lord, would you bless thy word? And Lord, I pray you'd speak to all of our hearts through the word of God, by the Holy Spirit. Somebody here today in this great crowd, or must be somebody that, Lord, that's not saved, they're lost, to die now and be lost forever. And maybe a Christian here, defeated. Lord, just encourage us all, speak to us all, do something in this service that's eternal. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, there's two things I want to preach to you about in this chapter. First of all, the appearances of Christ, and then the appointments of men, of man. Now, there are three tenses of Christ's work, and he appeared in this passage three times. First of all, the first tense was the first tense, his past tense, in verse 26. Look at 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now the reason that Christ came and was born of the Virgin Mary, was not to start a new religion, not to that might die as a martyr, or not to do, just he didn't come to do miracles. But I'm glad this verse here clearly gives us the answer, the reason he came. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Aren't you glad this morning that we have a Savior that's come to take care of our sin problem? He was born, we were born to live, but he was born to die. Now notice the first part of this verse, that the cross of Christ was no accident. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. It didn't catch God by surprise. No, it was planned. The death of Christ was planned before there ever was a time. Man has a problem. Man is a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. And there's only one way to take care of the sin problem, and that is get your soul right with God by trusting Jesus as your Savior. And he died and shed his blood, so if you'll trust him, your sins will be taken care of. Aren't you glad of that this morning? Say amen if you are. He died on the cross for your sins, and all you've got to do is just trust him. Just trust him. You know, everybody can get in on that. If we'll trust him as our Savior and receive him into our heart and life, got to get down 6 inches, blow the collarbone, got to get in your heart. And he'll make a new person out of you if you ever get born again and come to know Christ as your personal Savior. You know, here a while back I was in heaven, devoting my daily devotions over in this office that church let me, gave me a little, I own that office over there. I've got a little certificate that I own that office. They give it to me because I always go in there to have my devotions and get up sermons. But I was reading Matthew 27:46, and where Christ on the cross said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it hit me that my sins and your sins, my sins, caused God to forsake his Son on the cross there because of my sins. And when I thought that my sins caused God to forsake his Son and turn his back on him when he was dying for the sins of mankind, I realized that, and I just, in that room over there, I wept when I realized that God, Christ was forsaken on the cross by God for my sins and for your sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know but the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you what, aren't you glad we have that he came and have a simple plan of salvation? Everybody can get in on it. If you'll just humble yourself before him and say, Lord, I need you, and I want you as my Savior. Him that cometh from thee, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. If you're not saved, it's because you haven't really sincerely come to him this morning. Because if you will, you'll leave here, walk out those doors, walking, and be on your way to heaven. That can happen to you this morning if you're not saved. Now let's notice a second tense, the present tense, in verse 24. Look at verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now, right now, to appear in the presence of God for us. That's the present tense, right now. Who appears? The Lord Jesus Christ. And where does he appear? Into heaven itself, right now, while we're seated here. Christ is appearing into heaven at the right hand of God, interceding for his children. Isn't that wonderful? And why does he appear? He's appearing for us. You have a representative in glory interceding for you as you go down that life. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. When does he appear? Right now. Right now. Right now, we who are saved has someone over in glory representing us. And when, you know, when the devil accuses us, he's the accuser of the brethren. That's one of his titles. And the Lord says, when he comes to God to accuse us, God says, he belongs to me, or she belongs to me. I saved him by my blood. And 1 John 2:1 is a verse that we, all of us, ought to know and learn and resort to it often. My little children. That's my, I understand that's my little born ones. So really what it means is my little born again ones. These things write unto that ye sin not. That's the Lord's will that we sin not. But once we're saved, we have the new man, and then there's still the old man. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if we'd have got rid of that old man when we got saved? You never had any of those struggles. But it's his will that we sin not. But I'm glad the word of God here, God's made, he's made provision for us. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. When a child of God sins, we don't have to say, I can't live it. No use trying. I can't live it. But we can just go to Jesus. And he's a merciful Savior. And you know, I was just thinking, I've said this many, many times. You know who the best Christians are in this church? It's not a person that has a big list of don't do this and don't do that. But the best Christians at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church are the best repenters. Now think about that. I mean the best repenters. Don't look at me like that. But every day, sometimes I thought, why did I think that, Lord? Why did I do that? And I just have to say, Lord, forgive me. And I'm glad that I found out through life He's a merciful Savior. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Then, you're getting me off my track here. But let's go move on to the, I persecuted you on that tense. Let's move that, that's the, let's go to the third tense of Christ's work in verse 28, His future tense. Look at verse 28. So Christ was once, I'm looking at my watch here, I don't know when I started, I don't know when I'm going to stop either, so I'll preach through this morning. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I mean, one of the greatest truths in the Word of God is Jesus is coming to earth again someday. And I believe it soon. I didn't hear it, wasn't able to come to hear the message on prophecy and that, but I'm sure Brother Comfort emphasized everything is in place for the return of the Lord. Everything. Israel's back in place. Should he be hated of the world? Even by our own president and own country, Israel is hated now. I'll tell you what, God still loves Israel. He's going to take care of His Israel regardless what Iran or anybody else does. But Jesus is coming again. And Jesus said in John 14, 2 and 3, He said, in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, what did He say I'd do? I'd come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus has promised He's coming again, and He's able to keep His word. One day, he that shall come will come, and come back for His children. What a blessed hope. The angel, listen, the angels are, do you know the angels are second coming preachers? I've told you before in Acts 1:11, as Jesus was ascending up from Mount of Olives there, and going back to heaven, the disciples saw Him go up above the trees and above the clouds and on out into heaven. And as they were looking up, two men in white apparel stood there and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus, I like that, this same Jesus. Don't you like that? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. I was just, in conjunction with that, I was just reading this, the last verse of this song in our song book. Don't turn to it. I've got it open. I'm just going to read the last verse. Oh joy, oh delight, should we go without dying? No sickness, just think about it. No sickness, no sadness, no dread, and no crying. Caught up to the clouds with our Lord into glory when Jesus receives His own. Oh Lord Jesus, how long, till we shout the glad song, Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. It's going to be a wonderful day when our Lord appears. So those are the three works. Let's see how much more. I got plenty of time left to preach here. I'm just about getting wound up. I used to, it was a common thing, but after you don't preach to this big a crowd all the time, you don't get used to it. But anyway, the threefold works of Christ, He hath appeared for our salvation. He doth now appear for our sanctification, and He shall appear for our glorification. And one of the great, and I'll move on from the second coming of Christ, but one of the great hopes that we have, we shall be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is. Now, folks, I ain't like Him now. I'm sure that you know that by now. And by the way, you're not either. I try to be. I try to want to please Him, but I'm not what I should be now. But one day when I see Him, if you're saved, one day when you see Him, The Bible says we shall be like him. Be like him. For we'll see him as he is. What a wonderful hope we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look at a second thing that I see in this passage of scripture. And that is the appointments of men. Look at verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Notice, it is appointed unto men. Not maybe or perchance or it might be. It is appointed unto men. Now, a great character trait we all ought to have is to keep our appointments and don't come lollygagging in late. We ought to be on time. You ought to teach your children that. You ought to practice that. If you are late to an appointment, you ought to apologize and have a good reason. But listen, you can break an appointment with your husband or wife or mother, father, doctor, but there are some appointments that you are not, God is going to see to it in the future that you keep. And you will not be late. You'll be on time for God's appointments. The first one, it is appointed unto man once to die. And because of Adam's sin in the garden, the curse of sin and death is upon us. I had a funeral a while back, and a lady was in the hospital at Johnson City. And her husband was visiting her, and she started feeling better. I forget who the lady was. But her husband, he decided he'd go home while his wife took a turn for the better. But as soon as he left, she took a turn for the worse. When they got home, they called him, and he went back up, and she was gone before he got there. So the Bible says, in Adam, all die. When I was up in Alaska one summer, junior in college down in southern Mississippi, I was up there and I'd surrendered to preach, but I hadn't made a surrender to go full time for God. And I'd preached, I think, three or four times at that time. But I picked up the phone up in Anchorage, Alaska, and my pastor from Oak Street Baptist Church in Saudi, Tennessee, is on the other line, and he said, "Gene, you're going to have to come home. Your dad was just killed in a car wreck in Red Bank, Tennessee." We never owned a car in our family. We walked everywhere we went. Dad was coming home from work in the back seat of a car, and he was killed in a car accident. So I got on the plane, and I came home to the funeral of the best dad a man ever had. And he was strict. He believed in the old-time religion. His mother was a daughter of an old-time Baptist preacher and believed in the old-time religion. You know what? I'm glad that I was raised around the old-time religion. I'm glad of that. And my dad didn't get, he was in World War I as a machine gunner, didn't get saved till he came back. And he was saved in a revival. My mother, right after they got married, and down in Saudi, Tennessee, tent revival. And I'll tell you what, I won't spend much time on this, but my dad, he had standards. He wouldn't let me smoke. He wouldn't let me drink. He's a straight man, wasn't he? He used to call movies the shows. Wouldn't let me go to the show half, and I slipped and went a time or two now. And he believed in keeping the Lord's day holy. And I couldn't even, he wouldn't even let me play a game of marbles or throw a ball on Sunday. And when he'd go out hunting with, I'd go out hunting with him at midnight, my daddy would say, "Well, men, I've got to go. It's Sunday and I've got to go." He wouldn't stay out on Sunday hunting. But I thank God for my father. I'm glad he brought me up in the old time religion. But when he died, it was a traumatic experience in my life. I decided God was calling me for full-time Christian service, and I was going to just coach football and be a teacher and just preach a little on the side. But the Lord had other plans for me. And when we buried my dad, I wrote the coach down at Southern Mississippi and said, "I won't be back for my final year on the football team." I went over to Bob Jones University, and I've been preaching now full time for the Lord for 63 years. It took the death of my father to get me to go into where God wanted me, preaching the gospel full time. My dad was one of the greatest dads a boy ever had. He might, you know, I've said before from this pulpit, he may be listening in. The Lord may have him say, come over here, Martin, I want to hear your boy preach what I'm trying to preach here today. And I don't know that he's here listening in, but if he is, Daddy, I rise up to call you blessed. I thank God for a father that raised me with standards. He wouldn't let me go to any moves, dance. He wouldn't let me get near a dance hall. And I'm glad that he brought me up to believe the Bible in the old time way. And I thank God for the father he gave me. But it was a traumatic experience. The Bible says, in Adam, all die. That might be a gruesome thought to you. You might not like to think about it. But one day, my friend, everyone, this great crowd, everyone, you will go the last mile of the way, and your earthly sojourn will be over. James, the book of James says that life is as a vapor. It's here and it's gone. Like vapor coming up out of a tea kettle. It's here and it's gone. Just so is our life. You know, I was here 46 years pastoring this church. What a great privilege. I thank God. I'll take it. Thank him for all eternity for the privilege. Listen, I was here 46 years. And you know what? It passed off just like a vapor. And some of you are sitting here this morning, was here when I came. And it's been over 50 years since I got here as pastor. And it's been like a vapor. And 1 Chronicles 29:15 says, our days on earth are as a shadow. A shadow is here and it's gone. And there is none abiding. The wise Solomon said in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself. Listen, everyone, listen to this. Listen. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You might not like to think about it, my dear friend, but one day you have a divine appointment. God says it's appointed unto man once to die. And if you're not ready to die, you know, you're not really ready to live till you're ready to die. And the wisest, listen to me, stop and think. It's a hard thing for some to think sometimes. Put your thinking cap on. One of the wisest things you can do is to prepare for this event called death. I urge you to do it. Now, but it doesn't, the appointments doesn't stop there. Look at in verse 27, it's appointed man once to die, but there is a second appointment. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, what? The judgment. Every person in this great audience this morning, people, thank God for the good crowd we have. Every person in this building, folks, you're destined to stand before the Lord God of the universe someday. The one who hung the moon in space and the stars, and one that created, he just spoke the worlds into existence and took a lump of clay and formed man out of it. You'll face this all-wise and all-knowing, holy God face to face. Every person in this building will face God someday face to face. A Christian will face him under the blood. I'm glad I trusted Jesus a long time ago, aren't you? And you'll face him under the blood. But if you're unsaved, you'll face him with no shelter from the storm of God's wrath. Hebrews 10:31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. And because of this, Amos of old cried out, prepare to meet thy God. And there's only one way that you can prepare to meet God, is walk an aisle. If you're here without God, without Christ, walk an aisle, get on your knees, humble yourself. You know, you've got to humble yourself for God. You've got to humble yourself for God. You can't walk in smiling, chewing gum and want to get saved. No, you need to humble yourself for God. Come get on your knees and confess, Lord, I'm a sinner, but I want Jesus to come into my heart today. Before I leave here, before I get up off this altar, I want him to come into my heart and say, and he'll save you before you leave here today. But it's appointed man once to die, and after death, the judgment. But there's a third thing. It's not found here in verse 27. But throughout the Word of God, we find that man has an immortal soul and lives somewhere forever. As a song says, to Canaan's land, I'm on my way where the soul of man never dies. Never dies. And there will be no parting there. Where the soul of man never dies. Old Dr. Bob Jones Sr., when I went over to left down southern Mississippi, went over to Bob Jones, I got under the influence of old Dr. Bob Jones Sr., a great, great man of God. I'm glad he sent me there at that time. And he said, and I've quoted this before, Dr. Bob, on this, the deepest philosophical thought that ever came across my mind when as a young boy in southeast Alabama, it dawned on me that I was going to live somewhere forever. And folks, you're going to live somewhere forever. When you breathed that first breath as a baby, you gained life and you'll never die. Now, there was a time when you were not. But there, listen to me. If you grasp this, there will never be another time when you will not be. You're going to live on and on and on. And down to the innermost being of each one of us, God has placed in your soul and down in your being an immortal soul that will outlast the stars. And you'll close your eyes one day in death, but you'll wake up immediately in another world. As the song says, through eternity, I'll live on and on and on. Through eternity, I will live on. In Luke 16, you know the story of the Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus was a pauper. Now, I'm just about ready to come in for a landing here in just a few minutes, so don't get to thinking about that. I know what my wife has waiting on me, and so I'll be through here in about 30, 40 minutes. No, just a few minutes. But listen closely now. I want to pull this thing together. I want you to listen closely. In Luke 16, Lazarus was a pauper, and the dogs came and licked his sores as he sat at the rich man's gate. And he's just waiting for the rich man some crumbs to fall off his table so he could get something to keep body and soul together. But one day, even though he was in poverty, one day Lazarus died. You know what happened? He was right with God. When he died, the angels came and carried him to the bosom of Abraham, which is paradise. And the Bible says for a Christian that's trusted Christ, a Savior, absent of the body is to be present. But isn't that a great hope? If one day we're going to leave this body, we hear say, and we're going to be right in the presence of the Lord. But in this familiar chapter, it says that one day that rich man, in all of his splendor, and all of his wealth, who fared sumptuously, one day the rich man also died. And the Bible says, in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And in verse 24, it says there in Luke, in the book of Luke, that he cried out from the place of torments, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. 50 years, we'll get probably three-fourths the people in this auditorium this morning. 75 years will get about 95% of us. 100 years will get everyone in this auditorium this morning. Where will you be 100 years from right now? God help you to have courage to come down this aisle trusting Christ as your Savior before you leave here this morning. I wouldn't care what people thought. I'd make sure of heaven before I left here this morning. If you were to die now, would you wake up in glory or in the regions of the doomed? Have you counted the cost if your soul would be lost, even though you gained the whole world of your own, as your own? Even now, it may be that the line you have crossed, have you counted the cost? Jesus said in Mark 8, 36 and 37, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Let's bow our heads. No one leaving for just a moment. No one leaving for just a moment. Now that was what I felt like the Lord wanted me to preach. I've had all kind of messages, but the Lord kept leading me to preach this morning. I wanted to help you. I wanted to help you. If you're not saved, my heart goes out to you. I love you. But most of all, Christ loved you and died for you. He don't want you to go on without him. Another day, you're one heartbeat out of eternity. And if you're not saved, now if you're a Christian, following afar off, the Lord wants you to be drawn nigh closer to him this morning. Leave here on fire for the Lord, living for him the rest of your days on this earth. How many with heads bowed and eyes going to say, "Preacher, I'm glad I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. I've trusted Christ as my Savior." Raise your hand if you can say that. Okay, put your hands back down. And some of you couldn't say that. My friend, I love you, but most of all, the Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. And it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And are you interested enough in the eternal welfare of your soul? Did you raise your hand in just a few moments and say, "Preacher, pray for me"? Maybe there's Christians here that you're out of fellowship with the Lord. You say, "Preacher, I'm not where I should be with the Lord. I need to do business with God. Humble myself before him. I want to rededicate my life." Are there those this morning there? You say, "Preacher, I have a spiritual need in my life. Pray for me." Just slip your hand up all over the house. Let me just hold your hand up. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Say, "Preacher, God's spoken to my heart today, and I'm not sure that I'm saved, or I am saved, and I need a new touch, need something new from God." Slip your hand up right now. Some of these that raised their hand, hold your hand up high where I can see it. Anyone else? Anyone else? Well, I'm going to pray. And if God has spoken to your heart and you say, "Preacher, I want to be saved," or I'm a Christian, but I want to make a new commitment of myself to Christ this morning. Come down here and get on your knees and let's do business with God. Don't leave here without Jesus, without making things right. Anyone else? As we pray and then sing, you come to this altar, do business with God. Father, I thank you for giving me this privilege. Lord, I've tried my best to preach the truth. Lord, in this great crowd today, there's people surely that you've spoken to that need to do business with God. And I pray if somebody here is not saved, may they not wait but come down this aisle. If they raise their hand, may they come. Maybe some Christian needs to come to this altar and make a new commitment of themselves to Christ. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing. What number, brother?
281.
281. Let's stand and sing. If you need to come to this altar, come on this morning. If you raised your hand for prayer or whatever the need is, a Christian, you need to rededicate your life or whatever it is, if you need to be saved, come on as we say.
Ask me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry.
Others of you, come on. Oh, listen, I'd come on. Let's sing the next one, Brother Gary. Sing the next verse. Let God have his way in your life. He loves you. Oh, the greatest thing you ever do is come down this aisle and humble yourself for God. I wouldn't care what anybody thought this morning. It doesn't matter what people think. The just come on and do business with God right now. Come on. Anyone else, if God's spoken to your heart, come to this altar right now. Next verse, brother.
Let me at a throne of mercy find a sweet relief, kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. All of others that were calling could not pass me by.
Let's sing the next verse there. We're almost through. If you're going to come, come on right now.
Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit, save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior,
won't you come? You may be seated right there. Just, we want to finish dealing with this one before we leave. We're going to hurry this up. That dinner can wait. This is more important what you're going to eat today. You're getting up there ahead of the Methodists and the Presbyterians or the cafeteria. That's a good word, isn't it? Savior, hear my humble cry. While another's there, don't pass. I'm glad it didn't pass me by as a little 13-year-old boy. Let's sing that chorus together, everyone.
Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. All others that are calling.
All right, thank you, preacher, for opening the Word of God faithfully this morning. Melissa Roper, if you want to stand, and whoever, Judy, you can all stand, we don't care, you know, that's fine. And really, this is a good way to do it, because all these folks have been involved. She came in our discipleship class this morning, and trusted Christ this morning in that class, and we thank the Lord for that, and we're excited for you, and just stay with us, keep coming to that class, and get built, and get solid in your faith, and we're excited for you, and you ladies may be seated. We thank the Lord for working your life today. We'll continue to deal with this one. Thank you for coming. Hope you're back tonight and see how the Lord speaks to us through the evening tonight. Let's stand together and we'll pray. We'll be dismissed. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for Preacher Lashley faithfully preaching it this morning. Thank you for working in Melissa's life today and help her now to go on for you and to grow spiritually and to have fruit in her life and just defeat the devil in her life. And pray that we as a church body would minister to her as we should. And Lord, just continue to bless throughout our day. Again, be with Pastor and his wife and his family. Help them to have good rest these next several days. Bless in our service tonight. Bless our church family. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.